Here are the WGXC headlines for Wednesday, February 22nd. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy gave thousands of hours of surveillance footage from the January 6, 2021 attack on the U.S. Capitol to Fox News host Tucker Carlson. Democrats condemned that as a, quote, grave, unquote, breach of security. Democrat Jennifer McClellan became the first black woman to represent Virginia in Congress, winning an election February 21st to fill an open seat in the U.S. House of Representatives. The city of Kingston is contemplating a citywide composting program. New York State classifies Columbia County as a, quote, child care desert, unquote, and the Columbia paper has the first in a series on the story. The National Bank of Coxsackie is expanding, adding a new lending and administrative office in Latham, and the Atlanta Hawks fired coach Nate McMillan on February 21st.
Hi, this is Lance Treadwell from Albany, New York. You're listening to 90.7 FM, WGXC, ACRA.
Perfect. Let's talk about WGXC really quick so that I can convince you that maybe you've been putting off becoming a monthly sustaining supporter, but maybe you think that you've got a little extra love to spread around in the form of supporting local community voices, and you want to make that happen with a tax deductible contribution to Wayfarm and WGXC. It would be huge. We always need it. And it's so expensive to keep this station running, and it does so much good for your community, for yourself and your neighbors. And I think we talk about it like every pledge drive, but there's always, I feel like a dollar that you spend in your community is just going to go so much further than dollars you spend elsewhere. So it's like really nice to be able to prioritize that if you can. And what better way to do that than on the radio station you're listening to right now. And I don't know, maybe you are a regular listener. Maybe you've just been scanning the dial and you found us. Maybe you listen to the news and you get your local headlines here. Maybe you listen to some of your community members talk to each other about something important, or maybe nothing at all, like we do on nothing important at all, like we usually do on the show. Either way, it's nice to have that blend of voices on WGXC. You don't get that anywhere else on the dial. It's so hard to, it's just rarer and rarer these days to listen to truly independent radio. I think even radio that maybe bills itself as independent is not that way any longer, and it's becoming just an obsolete thing, an obsolete idea. But we have that here in the Hudson, Catskill, ACRA area, and that is like such a treat. And it's only possible through donations, because it's fully listener supported radio. That's why you never hear ads. That's why no one's trying to like sell you a car or try to get you to participate in a raffle where you win a car or listen for them till the next hour and maybe you'll be caller number something. That doesn't happen here, and it's nice because we just get to focus on whatever our shows are about. So whether they're about music or about some or about local news or about national news, it's just nice to only hear the things that matter and not have anyone try to sell you or push you anything throughout the day. So that's one thing.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network.
I'm Tom Rowe in ACRA, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show during our winter pledge drive. We need your help. Keep creative community radio on the airways. Please go to WGXC.org/donate and make some sort of sustainable support pledge to keep WGXC on the air. You are losing your local media outlets one by one, and WGXC wants to be here to stay. We're almost there. We're more than 80% of the way to our goal to become a sustainable station locally in the Upper Hudson Valley, providing you all sorts of news from western Massachusetts to Schoharie County, from southern Albany and southern Rensselaer counties to northern Dutchess and northern Ulster counties, and everywhere in between. WGXC is here for you. Please be here for us today at WGXC.org/donate and make a difference in your local community by keeping voices on the air and the community conversation continuing. Thank you.
News. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns the blood. Stream runs through. And the moon turns the blood. This is the network. Network.
Wave Farm programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program, administered in Greene County by CREATE, the Alexander and Marjorie Hoover Foundation, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors, including WGXC's sustaining supporters, who provide critical monthly support to Wave Farm's radio station, WGXC 90.7 FM. Thank you.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of One Universal Media of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Daily News for Wednesday, February 22nd. Go to the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about any of these stories. Brendan J. Lyons reports in the Times Union that many New York police agencies are still fighting the release of some disciplinary files, even after the state changed the law to make the information available to citizens. It has been almost 3 years since New York repealed a statute that for more than four decades blocked the public scrutiny of police disciplinary records. The New York Civil Liberties Union is involved in lawsuits seeking the information from the state police, State Department of Corrections and Community Supervision, and numerous other law enforcement agencies across the state. In many cases, police departments invoke a provision in the state Freedom of Information Law about how the release of open or unfounded complaints would result in a, quote, unwarranted invasion of personal privacy, unquote, for the officers involved. But when the legislature repealed the 44-year-old statute in the wake of George Floyd's murder, they clearly wanted most police records to be made public. Assemblyperson Daniel J. O'Donnell, for instance, says it, quote, was not my intent, unquote, to have unfounded, unsubstantiated, or pending disciplinary complaints against police officers withheld on privacy grounds. In Rensselaer County recently, State Supreme Court Justice Richard J. McNally Jr. ordered the city of Troy to turn over many police disciplinary records to the NYCLU, including records of unsubstantiated and unfounded complaints. And a state appellate court in western New York recently overturned two lower court decisions which would have allowed the Rochester and Syracuse police departments to issue blanket denials for police records sought by the NYCLU. And last year, a judge dismissed a case filed by the State Troopers Union to keep most police records hidden. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Heather Bellow at the Berkshire Eagle reports that Great Barrington wants to help residents that need affordable housing, but does not have the money to do so. The town board is now considering a, quote, real estate transfer fee, unquote, to help fund their affordable housing fund. Critics worry that could drive home prices up even further. The town board is also considering a tax break for landlords who rent for affordable rates year-round. Both the select board and planning board, in a joint session last week, voted unanimously to have the town research and consider these proposals. Board members are looking at several options, such as a fee between 0.5% and 2% that could be split by the buyer and seller or paid by either. Or the fee could be applied only to sales of houses that are possibly 150% above the median sale price for single-family homes, or over $1 million. Board members still need to work out rates and exemptions to the possible fee. Whatever is raised would go to the town's Affordable Housing Trust Fund, which aids residents with housing in a variety of ways, including making down payments. Read more about this story in the Berkshire Eagle. And Nick Reisman at New York State of Politics reports that a bill to put back the Tappan Zee Bridge name on the crossing over the Hudson River that was renamed for the late Governor Mario Cuomo by his son, former Governor Andrew Cuomo, several years ago. On February 21st, current Governor Kathy Hochul would not say whether she would sign the bill or not. Quote, Mario Cuomo was an extraordinary governor, and if the bill passes the legislature, I would certainly look at anything that passes, unquote. Hochul said on February 21st, quote, it is too premature, unquote. Hochul said she is more concerned with the $227 billion state budget proposal that needs to be finalized by the end of March. Quote, I've got a whole budget that needs my undivided attention, unquote, she said. The Tappan Zee name references both the Native Americans who lived in the area of the bridge, as well as the Dutch immigrants who settled there. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. And read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom, wgxc.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, February 22nd. Local early morning temperatures range from 24 degrees in Tannersville to 34 in Kinderhook. Regional average soil temperature is 36 degrees. Today is going to be odd. A high temperature of 39 degrees happens at noon, and that is where the certainty ends. So far, it looks like rain enters our area at 2 p.m., or at least it should be rain. We're on that not-so-unfamiliar edge again, and it's so thin this time that a water droplet just falling can turn into a snowflake from passing through the air. So, most of the region, especially the southern part, should see rain till 9-ish, and then transition to snow for about an hour or two. Elevated areas will, of course, see more snow. After 10 a.m., it seems icing could really occur for some. Again, too many variables at play to say really when and where, but let's hope for the best and prepare for the worst. Charge those devices and put outdoor items in a safe place. This includes your car. That crazy mix of whatever nature decides should turn to rain by dawn tomorrow, leaving a possibly messy commute to work. Rain lingers all day, and we see a high of 43 at noon. Overnight, rain comes to an end, and we see a drop in temperature to 34 degrees. Friday will be frigid. Gusty winds will knock over a couple trees, and temperatures fall steadily through the day, hitting 22 by dark. Overnight, we dip to 11 degrees. Some people may need to worry about pipes freezing. Saturday, a high of 25 with some light snow in the afternoon. Sunset today will be at 5:22 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:38 a.m. Looking way up, we see the sun is active with a 15% chance of X-class flares today. Some open Earth-facing coronal holes are releasing plasma due to cause some geomagnetic unrest next week. Solar wind speed is currently 424 kilometers per second at 5.3 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently pretty bad till dark, then fair below 60 megahertz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 4, unsettled. The current sunspot number is 106. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Maker Syndicate, who keep trying to mine crypto for the station, but we don't seem to be getting anywhere with these pickaxes and shovels. Until we get that figured out, could you give us a hand? Just head on over to WGXE.org, hit the donate button, and help end the fun drive forever.
The way I understand it, this person came into your home and stole all of your radios.
Every radio I had to my name.
Mm-hmm. Including transistors?
Yes. Well, he left me one earplug, I'll say that for him.
Mm-hmm. Well, did he take anything else?
Just the radios. And a couple of pieces of fruit.
I see. Well, what...
A banana and two Kadota figs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't deny him the fruit.
No. Are you and your husband going to replace the radios?
Well, we'll have to. Arthur is late for work because he has no radio to keep reminding him of the time and traffic conditions.
Mm-hmm.
I have nothing to keep me company while I work around the house.
I can imagine.
We have a 10-room house. We had a radio in every room.
Then he stole all 10 radios?
11.
11.
He also stole the car.
Who listens to radio? Only 150 million people. That's all.
Thank you. is the middle of the WGXC 90.7 FM WGXC.org Winter Pledge Drive. Yes, it is. And we are inviting you to join with us in becoming a partner, sustaining partner, supporter of this radio station. I was looking at a text that I got a little, you know, earlier this week. I was looking at it earlier today, and it says that since the campaign started, we have taken on 5 new supporters. Yay, snaps and claps to you.
I did see that.
But for a total of $50. We need some more. I'm hoping that in this hour that we can get 5 donors, 5 supporters, 5 people who can give $10 a month for our pledge support. Let them know you're doing it because you heard Reverend Kim and Brother Randall on the radio, all right? I'm asking you to call into our pledge drive number. It's 518-697-7400. 518-697-7400. Online, you can go to WGXC.org, donate. WGXC.org/donate. Click that button there, that just tap that screen. And also, you can mail a donation in, a check or money order only, please, to Wave WGXC, care of Wave Farm, at 5662 Route 23, Acre, New York, 12405. They always take walk-ins. You can go by the studio. The address is 704 Columbia Street, Hudson, New York. And just come in and, you know, let us know. Show some love. Let us know you love what we're doing. With your donation. No amount is too big, no amount is too small. We're looking to get $1,200 a month to cover the expenses of operating this radio station. And please be mindful, we are volunteer programs. We don't get any remuneration for the time that we put in. We do this out of love. Do this in hoping that somebody's going to pick us up on national TV.
I don't know about all that, but I think that, but we do it to help the community. And, you know, when you listen to all the news and all the great broadcasters that are on this radio station that are, you know, gathering information all throughout the week, they're, you know, you've got news that's very pertinent, very personalized, customized to Greene and Columbia County that you hear here. And every show, you know, behind that show is people that are crafting those programs just for this community. And so, you know, it is such a great investment, and we appreciate all you guys that are out there giving. But, you know, we need a few more to jump in and participate in this great radio station. And, you know, as Sister Kim said, no amount is too large or too small.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we are following our democracy in historic times.
We'll be watching carefully to see what Russia actually does. We'll, of course, make sure that in any event, we are postured appropriately.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken called Russia's decision to suspend the last remaining nuclear pact between the two countries deeply unfortunate and irresponsible. Russia made the announcement as President Joe Biden was in Poland, marking the one-year anniversary of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Congressman Benny Thompson, the ranking Democrat on the House Homeland Security Committee, says it's hard to overstate the potential security risks if video evidence gathered by the House January 6th committee were to be used irresponsibly.
What we had occur on January 6th was a clear threat to our democracy.
House Speaker Kevin McCarthy has handed over thousands of hours of riot footage to Fox News host Tucker Carlson, who has previously suggested the insurrection was a false flag operation. Democratic governors in 20 states are launching a network intended to strengthen access to abortion following the Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe v. Wade.
I'm grateful I'm here in California, a state that's fighting for freedom, fighting for reproductive rights.
California Governor Gavin Newsom says the Reproductive Freedom Alliance is a way for states to share information to better serve people seeking care, including those who live in states with more restrictive laws. EPA Administrator Mike Regan says his agency will seek triple the damages from Norfolk Southern Railroad should they not comply with cleanup orders for the train derailment and hazardous waste spill in East Palestine, Ohio.
My job is to hold the company accountable and make sure that they clean up and pay for it, and that's not done on the taxpayers' dollars.
Meanwhile, Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg says the government will issue new rules on rail car brakes and trains hauling highly flammable materials. The Biden administration has announced its most restrictive border control measures to date, which was welcome news to New York City Mayor Eric Adams.
The asylum seeker crisis is a national crisis, and it should not be just for New York City residents. That's just unfair.
A temporary rule would penalize asylum seekers who cross the border illegally or fail to apply for protection in other countries they pass through on their way to the U.S. Lawmakers in Kansas want to eliminate most ballot drop boxes in elections. A state Senate committee approved a bill which would limit each of the state's 105 counties to only one drop box inside its election office, with two people from different political parties monitoring the box. I'm Catherine Carley for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Wisconsin has been in the news a lot lately. Gerrymandering, a misguided $2 million review of 2020 election results, and admissions of racial voter suppression efforts in Milwaukee. But no story is more important than its state Supreme Court election, with huge state and national implications. February 21st, voters go to the polls for a statewide primary to replace a retiring conservative Wisconsin Supreme Court justice. The state's high court currently has a 4-3 conservative majority, and two conservatives and two liberals are vying for the seat. The top two winners in the primary, regardless of party affiliation, go forward to the April 4th general election. In addition to the state's abortion laws and other hot-button issues, gerrymandering is also on the ballot. While Democratic Governor Tony Evers won re-election in November by a 51% to 48% margin, two-thirds of all legislative seats went to Republicans due to extreme manipulations by the legislature of House and Senate voting districts. The state's current conservative high court endorsed those gerrymandered maps last April. The election could impact national politics as well. Should a more liberal court order fair congressional maps in Wisconsin, it could shift 2024 control of the U.S. House of Representatives, currently a razor-thin margin. We have links and information on voting in Wisconsin's Supreme Court election at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal.
And in the WGXC community calendar online, you can find so many things to do, some virtual, some in real life. Including Friday, February 24th, there's a vigil for the people of Ukraine at the Village of Chatham Gazebo. That's at Hudson Avenue and Park Row in Chatham. It's a vigil for the people of Ukraine organized by the Ukraine Solidarity of Albany and Rivers and Mountains Green Faith. Participants are asked to bring small flashlights and signs, and you can call 518-526-5594 for more information or go to the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
I went to my apartment on a Monday at 1, I sang into lolly lolly shaky bum shaky bum. Started moving in on a Tuesday at 2, singing to lolly lolly shaky do shaky do. Wednesday at 3, I call the phone company, singing, hey baby, put a phone in for me. Thursday at 4, he came and knocking at my door, singing,
hey baby, I'm a telephone man. Can't you show me where you want it, and I put it where I can. I can put it in the bedroom, I can put it in the hall, I can put it in the bathroom, I can hang it on the wall. You can have it with the buzz, you can have it. And if you really want it, you can have a thing of angels. Hey, baby, I'm a telephone man.
Can you believe that? And then he says, now another fella's crying, he's doing it again.
Yeah.
heart began a thumping and my mind began to fly. And I knew I wasn't dealing with no ordinary guy. So while I was talking, I was thinking up my plan. And my fingers did the walking on the telephone man. Hey, lolly, lolly. Hey, lolly, lolly. Hey, lolly, lolly. Get it any way you can. I got it in the bedroom and I got it in the hall. And I got it in the bathroom and he hung it on the wall. I got it with the buzz and I got it with the ring. Told me what my number was, I got a ding-a-ling. It's ringing, hey, lolly, lolly. Hey, lolly, lolly. Hey, lolly, lolly. Just to do my thing.
And welcome back with your hosts, Randall Martin and
Reverend Kim, your perpetual optimist. And our next segment will focus on heart health awareness. This is Heart Health Awareness Month.
Indeed.
And we are delighted to have with us one of our local physicians, Dr. Anna Maria Acevedo. So welcome to the Tuesday afternoon show, our roundtable talk edition. And we just like we're around the table talking, all right? We're so glad that you're able to join us and to help us to give information to our listening audience on this this very important subject.
Yes, and Anna Maria is a frequent guest on our show. How are you before we get into it?
I am good. How are you?
Good, good.
We're feeling well. We're doing well.
And, keeping healthy, I hope.
Staying healthy. staying well, thank God, by the grace of God.
Well, I have some heart health questions for you myself.
All right. But before we go into your questions, you know, we always try to remember to give our guests a one-minute self-introduction that you might want to share about Anna Maria Acevedo with our listeners that they probably wouldn't see on LinkedIn. You want to tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are?
Well, I'm a bit of a dinosaur, so I don't even keep up with LinkedIn or anything like that, but I'm just simply a general internal medicine doctor, or what people call a PCP these days, and I've been doing it for about 40 years now.
Wow, you must have been doing it in the cradle or something.
You've been okay. Thanks for that.
I would have given you 20, 25, 30 maybe tops. So congratulations. All right, so we want to dig into this conversation. The statistics that I saw say about 697,000 people die of heart disease in the U.S. every year. That's one in every five deaths. Let's talk about, you know, the heart disease, because I understand that there's more than one type of heart disease, but there's one that's the primary cause. Is that correct?
That's correct. The number one cause of heart disease is coronary artery disease, which means the blood is not flowing to the heart. And the heart is a little muscle about the size of a fist, and it's a pump, essentially. So you go to the gym, you pump iron. Your heart is the organ in your body that pumps the blood, but it needs a blood supply of its own. And that blood supply is the coronary arteries. And when they get blocked or they get too narrow and the blood does not flow, then that is a heart attack. Unfortunately, sometimes the signs of a heart attack are not clear. Some people just get short of breath or have a heaviness in their chest or feel fatigued. And sometimes you'll have pain that you say, oh, I feel a little gassy. I feel a little indigestion. Mm. But those can all be signs of coronary artery disease. Sometimes you'll have a pain radiating up to your jaw or pain down the left arm. but especially in women, the signs can be atypical. Okay, so that's the main kind of heart disease, but you also have congestive heart failure, where the muscles of the heart get floppy and out of shape and don't pump effectively. You also have valvular heart disease. Mm-hmm. There are four rooms, you could say, in the heart. Your left ventricle, your right ventricle, your left atrium, your right atrium. And the blood flows through these rooms of the heart, you could say. And the doors of the heart are called valves. And when these valves are too tight or too loose, that's called valvular heart disease. The other thing that can go wrong with the heart are arrhythmias. And one of the main arrhythmias is atrial fibrillation that we worry about. But you can, sometimes people will, my heart had a funny little beat. I felt that. Sometimes you feel it, sometimes you don't. And so sometimes people are not even aware that their heart is not beating normally, what we call normal sinus rhythm. Those are the main things that can go wrong with the heart.
Okay.
Oh, great information. You really broke it down for me well. I've heard several of those terms before, and now I understand them more. My biological father, who passed back in 2006, I think it was, he passed from congestive heart failure. So now I even understand it even more. Randall, you said you had some questions?
No, I did. And again, thank you for breaking it down like that. So one is like the heart doesn't have enough blood supply. And the other one is that the heart, the muscle itself is at issue. And then the other one is sort of the speed and rhythm of the muscle. And then the third one is the valves.
You got it.
I'm listening.
They can be related, you know. For example, if you do not control your blood pressure, then you put yourself at risk for a congestive heart failure because your heart is not designed to pump against such a high pressure.
Oh,
so
okay.
It's like a strain. It should be just like love, dub, love, dub, love, dub. And then it's all, oh, my God. The blood pressure is 200. I really have to work hard to pump that blood against that much pressure, which mm-hmm. is so sad. I had a patient who was about 40-year-old black male, and he didn't have insurance, so he didn't take care of his blood pressure. He came in, we did the EKG, showed left ventricular hypertrophy, which is the precursor to heart failure. Young guy, we got an echo, did his what we call the ejection fraction, which tells us how much blood the heart is able to pump, and it was like the heart of a 90-year-old. In addition, his kidneys were near failing because all of this is the cardiovascular system. Mm-hmm. So when any of the blood vessels are affected, it can affect the whole vascular bed, meaning your eyes, if you're a diabetic, retinopathy, the blood vessels of your brain, putting you at risk for strokes, the blood vessels of your kidneys, which puts you at risk for kidney disease. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of ironic. We call it hypertension. And many, many adult Americans have that, but particularly minorities, Black Americans, Hispanic Americans, are overrepresented in having these problems, which is no surprise when you think of hypertension if you are living in a hypertensive state. Now, we always would talk about mind-body medicine, but there's really no separation. So if you're under extreme stress, that is going to put you at risk for heart disease. And most heart attacks, studies have shown, happen on Monday mornings. So people have to de-stress. That's one of the key things that they can do. Lifestyle changes are important. I mean, we have lots of medicines, but you want to do something before you have to get to medicine. which means you have to eat properly. Mm-hmm. You have to avoid high meat, high fried foods, high sugar foods. You want to exercise. You don't want to smoke. You don't want to have excessive alcohol. And you want to find ways for self-care, whether it's meditation, yoga, going out in nature. But you have to find ways to de-stress, because all of the stress is a tremendous burden on your health.
So when you say hypertension, because, you know, I have that, a lot of people have that. And actually, the way you explain it, and thank you, seems a lot more serious than, you know, I think about it or I have thought about it.
It is complicated in a sense, and people are walking around with high blood pressure and they don't even realize it. And when I first started, we would define high blood pressure as 140 over 90. Now they've changed that because they realize that you need to have lower blood pressure to actually be healthy. So a normal blood pressure is 90 over 60 to wow. 120 over 80. Anything higher than 120 over 80 is either elevated blood pressure or high blood pressure. And then there are stages of that. So certainly if you get to over 160 over 90, that is like a stage 2 hypertension. But I would encourage people to go to the pharmacy and put their arm through there and check your blood pressure, or get one of the home devices and really know what your blood pressure is. It is important to check that on a regular basis and not to be in denial.
And whether you're on the mountaintop or down in the valley, if you're across the river or through the woods, you can assist WGXC in transmission. That's the theme of our latest pledge drive. We're asking for your help to either make a donation and pledge your support, become a sustaining supporter, or else provide some other support for your local community by joining in on the radio, becoming a radio host, interview local newsmakers and neighbors, or you can do your own show, or you can help out behind the scenes. Whatever you want to do, we can help you with that at WGXC.org. We want you to please assist us in transmission this winter at 90.7 FM. This is the one spot on the dial that's meant for the people. It's an open window for communication. It's a soapbox to stand on and have your say. Please go to wgxc.org/donate to keep 90.7 that way.
WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Steve Hughes reports in the Times Union that the head of the Albany County Sheriff's Office Business Office was arraigned February 21st and charged with grand larceny and forgery after allegedly taking more than $68,000 from the department's federal forfeiture funds account. John Cox also allegedly forged Albany County Sheriff Craig Apple's name to cover up his larceny. Federal auditors and Albany County Comptroller Susan Rizzo both audited Cox and Apple's use of the forfeiture funds, which is how the alleged fraud was discovered. Auditors are still looking, but have allegedly discovered at least $68,858 in missing funds over the past 2 years. Apple said Cox came clean to him last week, allegedly saying, and I quote, "I let you down, I took the check," end quote. Cox was removed from duty and could not be reached for comment. Apple has contacted the FBI to look into the matter because of the federal funds involved. Forfeiture funds are supposed to be used for criminal investigations, training, and prosecutions. Read more about this story in the Times Union. The Daily Freeman reports that Governor Kathy Hochul announced $150 million for mixed-use housing and infrastructure projects across the Mid-Hudson region on February 21st. Hochul is calling it the Mid-Hudson Momentum Fund, with money over the next 5 years for mixed-use housing and infrastructure projects to help with all the newcomers moving to the area since the beginning of the pandemic. Hochul said in a press release that, and I quote, "The new Mid-Hudson Momentum Fund will help to ensure that the region can continue to serve as a destination for families, workers, businesses, and tourists by helping to address the housing shortage, creating an equitable housing supply, and growing local infrastructure where communities need it most," end quote. More than 33,000 new residents have moved into the Mid-Hudson Valley in the past 2 years, but regional housing stock availability was at less than 1% last year. The money is being split with $75 million for the mixed-use housing projects and $75 million for infrastructure projects. Hochul made the affordable housing crisis one of her main points in her State of the State speech and her new budget proposal. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman. Nick Reisman reports for New York State of Politics that a state Supreme Court judge in Suffolk County ruled February 21st that the state's judiciary are entitled to a full floor vote in the state Senate. Republicans took Democrats in the state Senate to court after they voted down the judicial nominee of Governor Kathy Hochul's in committee. Typically, anything voted down in a legislative committee does not get a floor vote. But Justice Thomas Whalen said Justice Hector LaSalle should have gotten a floor vote as the nominee for the chief judge of the state Court of Appeals. Democrats did give the nomination a floor vote this week, hoping to make the lawsuit moot. But Republicans continued with their lawsuit after the full Senate voted down LaSalle's nomination. Hochul is now choosing from a list of 7 candidates for chief judge to make a new nomination to the state Senate. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Renewable Weather Forecast for Wednesday, February 22nd. And we begin each renewable weather forecast with the price of fossil fuels in Greene County. The Mobil in Cairo has gas at $3.43 a gallon, according to the Gas Buddy website. That's the lowest locally. in the air quality forecast for Wednesday is a 36. That is on the low side. The UV index is a 2, also considered low. The water temperature in the Hudson River in Albany is 39.41 degrees. On average, the last 10 years on February 22nd, temperature's been just over 36 degrees. So we are more than 3 degrees warmer than the last 10-year average. National Weather Service in Albany has issued a winter weather advisory in effect from February 22nd, 4 p.m. until 10 a.m. on February 23rd. And that's because they predict that snow is likely, mainly after 4 p.m. on Wednesday. With cloudy skies and a high near 37, a northwest wind 5 to 8 miles per hour becoming light and variable. The snow will be rain farther south and will change to freezing rain and sleet in our area overnight, then eventually becoming just rain. Low overnight is a 29 with a southeast wind at 6 to 15 miles per hour. Thursday, again, the rain should taper off by 1 p.m. with cloudy skies throughout the day and a high of 41 and a southeast wind 5 to 8 miles per hour spinning local windmills. Thursday night, there's a 40% chance of rain showers lingering with cloudy skies and a low around 25. There should be a south wind 9 to 14 miles per hour becoming west 20 to 25 miles per hour after midnight with wind gusts as high as 36 miles per hour for those windmills. Then on Friday, the forecast is for partly sunny skies with a high of 28. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, radio for open ears, solar-powered radio for open ears. Whether you have been spotting alien spacecraft in the sky or not, WGXC needs your help. You have tuned in during the WGXC Please Assist Us in Transmission pledge drive. And we are sending out these wild signals to see if you'll help keep many community voices on the air in the Upper Hudson Valley. 90.7 FM is the only frequency that's open to the community. You can walk in the door and get on the air, do your own show, be a guest on other shows, work behind the scenes, help with the news, put your local event on the community calendar to get announced on the radio. You can have your say in the local society. You can step on this soapbox and say what you want. This is a framework for community discussion, a place for music from around the world and around the corner. And we're asking for your help today at wgxc.org/donate or at 518-697-7400 to make a pledge to keep WGXC on the air. Now, last pledge drive, we said we had to make a decision about whether to keep our antenna on the giant American Tower in Cairo, off Route 67. That's how your signal gets beamed out. And you guys came through, and we got enough donations that our board of directors decided, yes, we will stay on the tower for another 5 years. There's enough community support here to maintain that. And that's great news. But now we need to finish the job. We're more than four-fifths of the way to our total that we've been working on for years to try to get a few hundred people in the community to give, say, $5 a month to 17 cents a day. You can make that donation and become a sustaining supporter at WGXC. And if we get a few more people that do that, then we'll have enough money that we can lower these pledge drives. We've already stopped having the June pledge drive on the air. It's online only. And we'd like to do that with the October and February pledge drives, too. But we need your support to do that. If you think WGXC and community radio is an important part of your day, if you wake up to Democracy Now! Every day, then please consider making a donation at wgxc.org/donate or calling 518-697-7400 today. That's 518-697-7400 to keep teenagers and senior citizens on the air, to keep all sorts of voices and perspectives so you can keep overhearing other tribes and what other people have to say and inform your own opinions. 518-697-7400 is the number to call. Or go online to wgxc.org/donate.